Well, please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. Isaiah, chapter 56. We read from chapter 55 earlier, but our passage this morning is going to be from chapter 56 and verse 1. Chapter 56 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. And our subject this morning is judgment and justice. So we come this morning to the book of the prophet Isaiah. And regular visitors will know that we very often turn to this Old Testament book in our morning evangelistic service, our gospel service, because in this book, even in the Old Testament, there is so much of the same teaching that we see in the New Testament. And it's no wonder, because the same spirit that was in Isaiah was also in the New Testament writers. The spirit that was in the prophet Isaiah is the same spirit that was in the apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit of God was in them both and moved them both to write down the word of God. And so this is why, and I very often begin in this way when we look at the book of Isaiah, even though the prophet Isaiah lived way before the time of Christ, 700 years before the birth of Christ, he knew so much about Christ. He knew so much about the gospel and the gospel message, because it was the Lord who was speaking through him by his Spirit. And this is very obvious. In fact, well, you just look at those first words in chapter 56, thus saith the Lord. That's what Isaiah says. The Lord is speaking. It's not me. This is not what I think. It's not what I, Isaiah, am saying to you. Thus saith the Lord. This is repeated hundreds of times in the Old Testament. I think over 400 times in the prophets. Thus saith the Lord. Because they weren't giving us their own opinion about religion and about the way things ought to be done. They were giving us the word of God. The Lord was speaking through them. Thus saith the Lord. And so this is why, by the way, of course, this is why these words all the way through the Bible are so relevant to us. What Isaiah is saying, the words of Isaiah, they're not stuck in his time, in his place, in history. These words are not stuck 700 years before the time of Christ, because these words are timeless, because they are the word of God. And we can apply them to our lives even now in the modern day, in the 21st century. This is not simply a man writing many hundreds of years ago that has nothing to do with us at all. This is the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And his word is always relevant. His word is always applicable to us, communicates to us. It's always alive in every age, because this is the word of God, and not merely the words of a man who lived thousands of years ago. This is the word of God. So this is why we come to this book, because we want to know what the Lord is saying to us through his word. And well, just this verse is much for us to think about this morning. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Well, now this verse most certainly has the coming of Christ in view. The first coming of Christ, of course, we know this, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. The prophet Isaiah, or the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, is pointing us ahead to the coming of Christ, to the gospel age. That is the time of salvation For my salvation is near to come. It hasn't yet arrived, but it's near. What is the time of salvation, really and truly speaking? Israel in the Old Testament, they didn't really know a time of salvation. Yes, there were a few deliverances. The Lord delivered them wonderfully in many ways, but they never really knew true salvation, true deliverance from their enemies. It's only when Christ comes. When Christ shall come, that is the time of salvation. There's no other time for Israel, for the whole world. Because Christ, we know this, he is the one who is our Savior. He's the one who has come to save us. And you will know this because I always mention it, that at the very beginning of the New Testament, before the birth of Christ, what did the angel say to Joseph? He said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He is a Savior. So when we read about the time of salvation and it's near to come, this is speaking of Christ. There is no other time of salvation. It has to do entirely with Christ. He is the only Savior. And we don't know the true meaning of what it is to be saved until we know the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is speaking of the coming of the gospel age. But before we focus on the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and that which we know in Christ, well, we do have to just focus on those words, judgment and justice. Keep ye judgment and do justice. These are the words that I want to focus on just in a very brief time this morning. Now, these are two words that are very important in the Christian faith, judgment and justice, and they are vital to understanding the Christian faith. If you don't really understand these words, you will not truly understand what the Christian faith is all about. And in fact, you won't even really understand the nature of God. Because who is God? God is a God of justice. God is perfectly just. We know this from the scriptures. We read this everywhere. In Deuteronomy 32, for example, "Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Judgment and justice are great characteristics of the God of the Bible, of the true and living God. And what that means very simply is that God is, well, he is just. God, of course, and I barely need to explain this to you this morning, God is never unfair. If you are unjust, well, you are being unfair. God is never unfair. God is never oppressive. He is not an oppressor. God is just. His motives are always pure. His motives are never sinister toward us. He is not evil toward us in any way. He is always pure, pure motives. He's always true. There is no deceit in him. We spoke about this last week. There is no lying in him, no lies, no hidden agenda. He doesn't say one thing and then do another. He's not like a man. He's not like a politician, you could say. We see this in the political world. People who say one thing and then do another thing. That is unjust, isn't it? To say one thing, do another thing. That is somebody being unjust. God is never like that. When he declares one thing, he will do it. He is a just God. And we have to understand this about the Lord because, certainly for Christians, we are called to live in the same way. If we are Christians, we know this, we are representing the Lord here on earth. We are showing the world around us, in a sense, what God is like. So if God is just, we are supposed to be those who are just. We are supposed to be those who are just like him in our dealings with others, for example. We must be fair with all those around us, never unjust. We must not be oppressive. God is not like that. Why would his people be? We too must have pure motives. We must do what we say we are going to do, not just say something and never do it. If we call ourselves Christians, we can't do that because we are misrepresenting the God who is just. So God is just, all of his people must be just, and even the unbelieving world has an innate sense of justice. We are all made in the image of God, even unbelievers, even a child. One of the first things that a child realizes is if something is not fair. They're very good at that, saying this isn't fair, that isn't fair. They always know what is just, what is unjust. It's in every one of us, the image of God. We are all made in the image of God. And so, dear friends, this is so very important. Do we understand this teaching, judgment and justice? And we must obey God. The instruction here is to keep ye judgment and do justice. If you are my people, this is how you are to behave. But how do we do this? Well, we must obey God. We must obey his commandments. There are many passages we could go to, but where we think just of the Ten Commandments, we think of, just for example, thou shalt not steal. Why should we not steal? Because it's unjust to steal. To steal from somebody. The Lord's people are not to be like that. Thou shalt not bear false witness. There should not be any deceit in us. We should be honest and transparent. No lying at all. We should be just people. Thou shalt not kill. No sinister motives toward anybody. No evil intentions. Dear friends, if we want to know how to be just, we look to the commandments, and just the first commandments, the first half of the Ten Commandments, the first table, those commandments that speak about our relationship with God. Do you know what the first commandment is? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods before the one true God, because otherwise it's unjust. If you worship something else or you put something else ahead of God, that is entirely unjust. That is, if I can put it this way, unfair to God. Because it's God who has given you your life and your health and your breath and everything. Nothing else has. Nothing else in the entire world has given you life and your knowledge and your health. So to put anything else ahead of God, that is entirely unjust. You owe God everything. You owe God your very life. To put something else ahead of him, of course that's unjust. It's unfair. So you have to obey that commandment. Don't put anything ahead of God. Of course not. There are other things we could mention. Well, in the second verse, the Sabbath day is mentioned here. And those who uphold the Sabbath, that one day in seven, they are commended. You know, I don't want to push this too much, but we have to mention this from time to time. The keeping of the one day in seven, it's the Lord's day for us. We ought to do it, because if we don't, that's not, it's not fair to the Lord. The Lord could have asked, he only asks for one day out of seven to worship him. He could have asked for more. He has every right to ask for more, doesn't he? He could have asked for 2 days, 3 days. He has been so fair to us, just one day to worship and honor the Lord. If we don't keep it, are we not being unjust, unfair to him? Dear friends, to be just in the sight of God, we have to honor the Lord. We have to obey him, put him first. We have to honor the Lord's day, not every single day just for us. Not a single day for the Lord, that is unfair. This is what it means to be just. Dear friends, the Ten Commandments teach us, but I have to say this, of course, I have to qualify it in this way. There is nobody who has kept the commandments of the Lord perfectly. We all fall short. That is the teaching of the Word of God. There is only one person who is just in the sight of the Lord, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Son of God. He's the only one who is just, the only one who only ever had pure motives. the only one who only spoke the truth, the only one who truly obeyed God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who's truly just. He's the only one who's truly righteous. We read it here in this verse, don't we? My salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed in Christ, not in any other man. You can search the whole scriptures, search the whole world for somebody who's truly righteous. There is no other. How can it be revealed? It's only through Christ. When he comes, then you will really see a righteous man. You'll see salvation and you'll see righteousness. This is speaking about Christ. But he is the only one who is just. And this is why we need Christ. This is why we need to have faith in him. For us to be accepted by God, we look to the Lord. But before we say more of Christ, I was meaning to say a few things about judgment, God's judgment. Keep ye judgment and do justice. We know, don't we, or we ought to know, that there is a day of judgment ahead of us. We may think differently about how it will come, but there is most certainly a day of judgment ahead of us at the very end of time. The world, the whole world, will be judged by God. Why must there be a judgment? People will often say that to you. In fact, most churches, a good number of churches, will never speak about judgment because they don't like this idea. Why must there be a judgment? Well, it's very simple. It's answered here. Because God is just. That's why there must be a judgment. There must be a judgment because God is just. The world around us, the world in which we live in, is so unjust. Again, you don't need me to explain this to you. It's a world full of injustice. There's all manner of injustice in this world, all manner of corruption, all manner of wickedness and criminality in this world. You see it all around you. And what else do you see? There's no justice. There's hardly any justice at all in this world. So much wickedness, so many bad things, and so little justice. And then people will say to you, if there's a God, why does he allow this to happen? Why does he allow that bad thing to happen and this bad thing to happen? Why is the world so messed up? Why doesn't God do something about this? Well, the answer is one day he will. One day there will be a day of judgment. He will do something about it. The day of judgment, really, it's a day of justice. It's a day of justice. This is how we consider the day of judgment. The day of judgment is not something to be ashamed of. God is not doing something wicked on the day of judgment. God is not doing something immoral. This is why people don't like to speak about judgment, because they think that if they do, it's almost as though God is doing something immoral. Dear friends, he is simply administering justice. Let me ask you this. Is a judge in a court of law, a judge in a court of law, is he considered immoral if he passes sentence on a criminal? A criminal has broken the law. He's brought before the judge. The judge has to pass sentence. Is that judge immoral? No, he's not. He's upholding the justice of the land. It's not immoral. There's nothing immoral about it. In fact, if he doesn't pass sentence, that is what is wicked. That is what is unjust. Dear friends, the day of judgment is simply God acting as our judge. He is our judge. And he is not being immoral. He is delivering justice because he is just. And justice will be done. Everything that is wrong in this world will be made right on that day. Dear friends, I have to ask you, of course, in this gospel message, are you ready for that day? We have all done things wrong. Every single one of us. Again, I have to mention this. We live in a society when the inclination is to think that it's only certain people who are wicked and who are immoral. only certain groups, only perhaps even certain classes of people. It's just the ruling class who are immoral, who are wicked. Everyone else is fine. Everyone else is nice and kind. Dear friends, that is not the teaching of the Bible. We have all sinned, every single one of us. Do you disbelieve that? Sometimes, and I've heard this many times, sometimes you will hear people saying to me, but Pastor, I know somebody who is very nice. Somebody who is always kind, somebody who is always polite, somebody, well, they're like an angel. They're one of my best friends. Surely God would be unjust in saying that this person is a sinner. Dear friends, what I have to say to you, you don't know everything about that person. Do you see the thoughts of that person? Are you able to do that? The thoughts of this person who's so nice, do you see that? Do you see the secrets of their heart? God sees all of these things. Do you see what that person does in private when nobody else is watching? Can you see that? Have you seen everything that that person has done in their entire life? You haven't seen these things. You are not qualified to judge that person, whether this person is good, whether that person is bad. It's only God who is able to judge. Only God sees these things. Dear friends, He is the only one who is just. He is the only one who is qualified to judge us. And God's judgment, dear friends, I have to spend some time on this. We don't often speak about such things. And I don't say what I'm about to say lightly either, because these are solemn things. God's judgment is eternal. To end up after this life in a forsaken place of eternal punishment, this is what happens. This is what the Bible teaches us about those who turn not to the Lord. And again, people will make objections. Is that not too harsh? Everlasting punishment. We sin in this life of time. How is it that we are punished everlastingly, dear friends? Well, two things I could say about this. We already have in this life, in this world, the idea that there is a long punishment, even for a brief crime. Somebody who murders somebody, well, it may only take them 1 or 2 minutes to murder that person. But when they are sentenced for a crime, do they only get 1 or 2 minutes in prison? Because their crime only lasted 2 minutes. Do they only get 2 minutes in prison to fit the time of the crime? No, they get many years. They get life. So we already have this idea that if you sin, if you commit a crime in this life, there is a long punishment. And so, well, it almost reflects, doesn't it, the punishment of the Lord. If we sin in this life, in this world of time, there is an everlasting punishment. And of course, hell is everlasting because God's anger against sin is everlasting. God is so holy that He will always hate sin. He will always hate sin. There will never be a time when God does not hate sin or think that sin is all right. God, again, is not a man. This is how man deals with sin. The sins or things that were considered sins 100 years ago are now no longer considered sins, or even 50 years ago. Now man has changed his mind about sin, the things that we used to call sin. Now we don't condemn them anymore. We just let people go scot-free and we don't say anything. God is not like that. God sees sin as it is, and He won't change His mind about it. He won't say, oh, well, now I don't think it's that bad at all. God never changes. So that is why there is an everlasting punishment. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And this is the nature of His judgment. He's not like a man who changes his mind. He is the everlasting, holy, eternal God. But dear friends, let me come to the gospel. There is one way and only one way in which we can turn away the anger of God. Turn away hell from us. And it's in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know this, or you ought to know this. We are all sinners, every single one of us. Every member of this church is a sinner. But what has happened? The Lord Jesus Christ, this is what we believe. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, he has taken the punishment for our sin. We are guilty, worthless sinners. Christ has stood in our place. Father, punish me instead of them. I will take the punishment for them in their place. Our substitute, our scapegoat. This is what we believe. Is there anybody here who may make another objection? One final objection I'm going to deal with. Some people will say this, but isn't that unfair? Isn't it unfair, even the gospel, that the Lord Jesus, who committed no sin, he has to take the punishment for us? Even just that very idea, is that not unfair? Christ, the sinless one, taking the punishment for the sins of his people. Is that not unfair? Dear friends, it would be unfair if the Lord Jesus Christ was unwilling. Yes, it would be unfair if he was in some way forced to go to the cross. It would be unfair. But what do we read in the Bible? We read, he loved us and he gave himself for us. He loved us. It was the strength of his love. You know, yes, God's justice is from everlasting to everlasting. But you know, the love of God is so great. It transcends his justice. Yes, God's justice is great, but his love is greater. And so he goes to the cross out of love. I will suffer and die for them. That's not unjust. He willingly goes to the cross. God the Father willingly sent his only begotten Son, and Christ himself, he loved us, he gave himself for us. There is nothing unfair at all in the gospel. And why not? Because God is a just God. Nothing to fault at all. Dear friends, these are wonderful things. I'm almost out of time. Let me end with this. It has been said, and perhaps it's true, there are many things to suggest this, that the day of judgment is near. And well, even though we cannot be entirely sure, there is so much in the world around us. Surely it cannot be too far off. When you see the wickedness in the world and everything that is going on, worse and worse, that is exactly the time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear and all the world will go to judgment. Judgment is near. But dear friends, the Lord is also near to you. If you have not turned to the Lord, read these words. My salvation is near. It is near to come. And even in chapter 55, we read in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He is near to you. Judgment, yes, may be near, but Christ is nearer to you. He's even here now, speaking through his word. If you do not know him, there is opportunity. You must seek him. He will not turn you away. He is even calling out to you. He's even asking you, even now, why has it taken you so long? The Lord has been so merciful to you. The Lord could have cut you off even before the age that you are now, but he is not unfair to you. He's not unfair. He's never been unfair to you. He is a God of justice and judgment. All of his ways are right. Why would you turn away from such a glorious God of grace as we read of here in his word? Turn to him, dear friends, and you will know what it is to be saved, saved in this life and forevermore. There will be no fear for you on the day of judgment. You must come before it is too late. The Lord is near to each and every one of us. Seek his face this day, dear friends. May the Lord bless these words to us. Keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed.